Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Patricia Barnowski Schneider.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Minds. I'm your host, Patty Baranowski-Schneider. Today I'm joined by Nancy Steidel, MBA, MD in law. So welcome, Nancy. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. Thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
My pleasure.
I'm excited about this podcast, and you've achieved a lot as well. So it's delighted to, join forces here. I'm a Canadian native. I've been in the UK for the last 25 years. I serve as an intellectual property law specialist and international business consultant at the Business Mission. One of my unique approaches, I do blend the legal expertise with business insight, either guiding clients globally on an intellectual property matters with the broader business content. So I offer innovative solutions that integrate legals with these business considerations. I've helped hundreds of businesses grow, and in turn, they become profitable, which is great. Alongside my professional roles, I'm very committed to continue my education, and I've recently completed a master's degree in international business law at University of London, MBA at the International Business Management Institution in Berlin, and I do have a passion for intellectual property law. So I do right now a master's at the University of London for international intellectual property law, and I've got a business book coming out at the end of 2024.
Wow, busy bee. That's awesome though. And you have to continuously learn. I mean, I always say people who just think that what they learned in school decades ago is enough, every day things are changing.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us, what inspired you to embark on a career in business startups, and how has your journey shaped your perspective on success?
Thank you, Patricia. Well, the inspiration for my journey into a business startup, it really comes from curiosity, and I do have a deep-seated belief in the power of innovation. I've witnessed how business startups can bring fresh ideas to the forefront, which really fueled my passion for creating meaningless changes for my clients and for myself. So I've always seen an opportunity to contribute to this dynamic space of startups, addressing opportunities with creative solutions and really making a lasting impact in society and on a global level.
Nice. I know post-COVID, it seems startups just skyrocketed. Everybody came.
Yeah, everyone's isolated thinking, I don't have anything to do but startups.
But I mean, it's good because people need that guidance, because everybody has an idea, but there's a lot more involved in it than that. So it's good that you're there to guide them.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Now, can you share a pivotal moment or decision in your career that significantly impacted your path to success?
Yes. So a really pivotal moment in my career, occurred when I realized how many people were quite lost when starting a business. I was speaking to a young person at my gym. They were a bit lost on how to start a business. So this really led me to realize how I can help others with starting up business, having started many of my own businesses successfully. But as a very young entrepreneur myself, my first self-employment was my lemonade stand at the age of 7 years old. I know it was a moment of self-discovery, and it really made me realize my true potential laid in the ability to build something from the ground up. And so the decision to embark the unknown and chart that course towards entrepreneurship not only shaped my professional side of me, but it also, fostered my own personal growth and resilience in this sort of journey in business.
Right. Yeah, I admire people who have that thought and passion. But, some of the entrepreneurs that I see out there, I'm like, wow, those type of things where you're like, oh, I could have thought of that. But, they just had that. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You think, well, I could have done that, but you didn't do it.
Right.
They were stuck ahead of the game. Yeah, exactly.
Right. how do you approach risk taking and decision making in the uncertain world of business startups?
So Patricia, I am a business plan kind of woman. I truly, deeply believe in planning and taking the time to really map things out, which helps with that risk-taking and decision-making process when you have written it all down. You know, that saying is spot on, fail to plan, plan to fail. And as mentioned, I do believe in taking calculated risks after you do your, you know, planning and you understand the long-term approach of where you're going. You know, the SWOT analysis is absolutely key. It's where you take the analysis that you've done and you meet it with your intuition as well. So each decision is really an opportunity for growth. And I've learned to embrace failures really as redirections rather than rejection, showing me I needed to be on that different path and also see the valuable lessons in the situation which has happened to me in business. I believe it really is maintaining the long-term vision but still remaining agile in the face of evolving challenges during any situation or any decision that contributes to the, you know, the overarching success of your venture.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good approach because people sometimes will just see a failure as, oh, it just was never meant to be, and then that's it. But being able to pivot and say, okay, well, maybe it was redirecting me for a reason, and let's see what we have to look at. You know, I mean, it could make or break a big thing, you know?
Absolutely. You're spot on, Patricia, is that some people think, oh, I failed and, you know, I shouldn't dust myself off. But it's almost like, you know, I'd say the universe or something out there saying, look, this just isn't the path you're supposed to be on. You're still supposed to do that, but don't take this path. Come back and do a U-turn and do it this way instead.
Right. And just, you know, talking to other people, mentors and things like that, you know, offering a different approach that you might not have thought of. You know, because some people have failed the same way you did, and now they can explain what worked for them. Doesn't mean it'll work for you, but it'll help you see things a little different. So, yeah.
Absolutely. You're spot on, yeah.
Now tell us, in your experience, what are some common misconceptions about starting a business that aspiring entrepreneurs should be aware of?
Well, I think one really big misconception about starting a business is this romanticized notion of overnight success. You know, aspiring entrepreneurs, they look at others who've been in business for years and they think that they are on that same level when they start. I like to really use that analogy of starting a business is like deciding to have a child. And the misconception might be it's really exciting to have this child, but there comes a lot of work in growing a child, which you really need to take into account. So in reality, building a sustainable business is a journey marked by consistency, adaptability, the commitment to keep learning and growing. And I do think it's essential for any aspiring entrepreneur to understand that these challenges are part of the process, turning those challenges into opportunities instead. Mm-hmm. And success is definitely the result of continuous effort, resilience, and a willingness to be flexible on your strategies. I like to use also the analogy that starting a business is like building a house. So understanding that what goes into building the house is key, while optimism is good, but you must keep yourself grounded. You can't compare a house which hasn't been built yet to a house which has been standing for 100 years.
Right. And it is tricky. Like I do marketing, IRP, and I always say every client that I work for, I would say it's not about you. It's about your customer, your client, your investor, whatever the case may be. And people, I know a lot of entrepreneurs who think they have this vision. I'm only going to work 2 hours a day. I'm going to make millions, blah, blah, blah. And I knew somebody, for example, who wanted to be a dentist. And they're like, well, I'm going to make my own hours and I'm going to only work. And I'm like, okay, but you know, it's not about you. So if I'm looking for a dentist, I want someone who's going to accommodate my schedule. It's not during my work hours. It's nights and weekends, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, if you can't accommodate me, I'm going to go to a dentist who can. And then it's kind of like the reality, like, oh, really? You know, it's not about you. And people have to be prepared that, you know, your whole business is filling the pain point for whoever your audience is, your customer, your client, your investor, whatever, you know, and it requires work. So It's great that people have these, and that could happen down the road, but it's not going to initially happen.
Absolutely. And you're right, spot on. Is like when someone's, that dentist analogy that you gave, if someone says, well, I only work 2 hours, what they're saying is, well, I only feed my baby for 2 hours a day. Like, this poor baby's gonna die if
I
you don't
know.
wake it up, So yeah, absolutely spot
Yeah,
on.
but a reality check.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Now, can you give us a sneak peek into your upcoming book? And what are some of the key takeaways you hope readers will gain from it?
Fantastic. Thank you, Patricia. Well, the cover and the title reveal will come in 4 weeks at the end of the month. So it's very exciting. I have been working on the book for many years. I did take sort of a little gap from it, but my upcoming book, it really serves as a guide for aspiring entrepreneurs. And it's drawing from my own experience and wisdom of successful startups. So it's set to launch later this year at the end of 2024. There will be a pre-launch coming up in the March time. So it's not your convenient conventional business book. I wanted something a bit different. It's a book crafted in layman's terms, and it's drawing parallels between business concepts and relatable analogies, which you've noticed I've sort of given those analogies with the house and the baby. So
Right.
you need to think of it as a compass guiding you through the entrepreneurial complexities with a real touch of simplicity. As mentioned, I'm revealing the title and the cover at the end of this month. So do stay tuned for a glimpse into this world of analogies. And from, the idea to execution, my business book really provides these insights to overcoming the common challenges in business and, fostering that innovation and building a foundation for a long-term successful business.
Nice. I think layman's terms is huge too, because everybody could read a textbook, but and especially coming from experience, you could read the textbook formality, but having been somebody who's been there, you can relate to what a lot of people are probably feeling. And it could be things people don't normally talk about, but you're like, I've been there. Here's what I would have done, or here's a scenario that maybe you didn't encounter, but probably other people in your space did. And it kind of makes it a lot real, which is great.
Yes,
Yeah.
and I think, if you touch base with somebody who's done it before and just sort of listen to what they've had to say, not necessarily have to take the route, but just
Right.
take on board what they've said, because you need to be unique in your own doings in life. But at least it would forewarn you on some things that, my father used to say it costs more to hire than or fire to hire. So it will cost you more if you build something without sort of some knowledge behind that somebody could have helped you with.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't know this, so having someone who does, that's a big advantage for them. Now tell us, how do you balance the need for strong business mindset with the personal and emotional aspects of entrepreneurship?
Yes, so I think balancing the demands of startup with personal well-being is an ongoing, super key element to success in business. I have a chapter in my book, actually, on the importance of having a healthy mindset when you are an entrepreneur. I think, in the past, sort of the old belief system is you've got to work 24/7,
Right.
which is not the case. You should work smarter, not harder, but you should also be very careful for yourself that you are keeping a really good mindset when you are doing business. It really requires a holistic approach involving setting boundaries, practicing self-care, and really acknowledging the important relationships between personal and professional aspects. So I've learned myself that maintaining a strong business mindset is complemented by healthy and fulfilled personal life, which contributes to sustaining successful and overall well-being as a business entrepreneur.
And again, kind of speaking from experience, which is perfect. Because I know other people, it is true. Like when I first started out with my own company, I was working around the clock because I've been doing the remote thing long before COVID. And I found that I was always on call from the minute I rolled out of bed to the minute I went into bed. And it took a while for me to say, okay, this isn't life. You have to kind of create a system. You make it work for you, but people need that guidance.
Absolutely, you're spot on, Patricia. But I also think a lot of people don't put the structure in. And when you get a structure in place, because, you know, doing a business is routine. It's a boring routine sometimes, you know, constantly. But again, if I give the analogy of the baby, you have to get up every 2 hours to feed the baby at the beginning, but it's not going to be forever. You know, eventually when the child is 5 years old and it's going off to nursery, your routine changes a bit. But initially, yes, you need to put some sort of structure in so you don't burn out.
Right. And having mentors actually play a good role in that. So speaking of that, what role has mentorship or networking played in your professional development?
Thank you. Well, I never personally had a mentor directly involved with my business journey. There has been my studies, my education, my books, and information I felt became like a mentorship along my journey. And networking was definitely instrumental in my professional development. You know, when you engage with others who provide invaluable guidance in business, it does help. I do believe building a robust network does open doors, you know, partnership, and a real wealth of diverse perspectives. I mean, these relationships, I think, really pivoted my growth and emphasizing the importance of, you know, the supportive community in the entrepreneurial journey, whether, you know, you're on LinkedIn or Facebook or any other, that sort of community can really help you move forward on your journey.
I believe mentorship is a big thing now, but someone asked me that recently, and I said, back in the day when I started, there really wasn't a big thing for mentors. It seemed, especially back then, everybody was so territorial. Nobody would share what they would. It was just crazy. So you learned a lot through trial and error. And nowadays, I think people are starting to realize that let's give back and help one another. And it's becoming a thing now, but I get it. I mean, I wish I had it. That's why I kind of do things now to help people, because I'm like, I wish I had that when I needed it. But
Yeah, absolutely. I think also the landscape of entrepreneurship has changed. Like, you know, I know in my father's era, it was like you stayed in the job for 20, 40 years. And you can, you know, but we're developing and, you know, giving birth to more entrepreneurs out there who are creating fantastic, you know, jobs for other people. And, you know, the whole dynamic is really different these days compared, you know, 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's true. Back in the day, we did. I mean, people stayed. And now it's funny because people did stay. And now I'm told, I don't know how true it is, but like if you're at a job more than 10 years, it's not good for you, which is crazy because I'm 16 years at one job. You know, I just stay until you kick me out the door. If I love a job, I just stay there forever.
Yeah. But
it's just a whole different landscape now.
Definitely. Yeah.
Now tell us, in your view, how important is adaptability and continuous learning in sustaining long-term success in business?
Fantastic. Yeah. So in a business startup, adaptability, continuous learning is absolutely paramount. Myself doing 3 master's degrees, endless other courses have really helped me stay sustainable in succeeding in business. And also my knowledge I pass on to my clients and help them stay sustainable through their business journey. I think staying ahead does require a commitment to staying informed about industry trends, embracing change, and really proactively seeking opportunities for growth. Success is often the result of the ability to be flexible on these strategies and remain really open-minded to new ideas. So it's very important to keep learning. I am a sucker for learning.
Yeah, so obviously.
I'm going to stop at this degree now. So I finish in 8 weeks, but I do sit to get my qualifications as a solicitor. But yeah, I'm just always picking up courses because I really love learning.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I get certified in everything. Every time there's something new, I'm like, I like the perfectionist in me. I'm like, how can I learn it? How can I be better? What can I, you know? And sometimes it's just for my own personal gain, but it's like, I think it kind of broadens your expertise and it helps you do what you do. And you just learn something new. I just love that. I mean, yeah.
Knowledge is king. I said to you, my fiance, because I'm getting married this year, I said, oh, I'm going to do a PhD.
Yes.
No, you're not doing another PhD.
Oh, can imagine.
He's like, please just wait. Take some little short courses if you need fiction or something.
Well, that's the difference. I take certified courses. You're getting your MBAs on everything.
I really
That's
enjoy
awesome.
it. So,
Yeah. No, I mean, hey, if that's, it's kind of like a therapy in a way. If that's what works for you and it just helps you relax and learn and you enjoy that and you get great satisfaction of it, by all means, do it, Everybody has their own unique thing, and that's not a bad thing to have, that's for sure. Your fiance might not agree, but
Yes, like no more. You've been in school for 7 years. So,
Now, can you share a specific challenge you face in your career and how did you overcome it?
ironically, I really don't see challenges in my business. I only see them as opportunities. That question is very interesting because it does project onto one situation on a project that I had invested years ago. It was an online global community with many members, and it was hacked. And they were asking for about 3 million Bitcoin. My website guy at that time informed me we had already backed up the system, so it wasn't going to be a problem. And this was because of my SWAT. So I was prepared that, if we got hacked, what would I do? And, told me where they had hacked in the site. So I wrote to them and thanked them. I said, thank you very much for showing me where the loose end was. And you can take the money and shove it because I won't be giving you that. But from that incident, we tightened up the website. And I have always been this person that I was never going to have somebody else be in charge of my destiny. You always need to be ahead of the game in business. If something gets in your way, then have that plan how to go around to keep moving. So this experience really taught me the importance of remaining agile in the face of adversity and viewing challenges as opportunities for innovation. And those lessons learned through those periods have really helped my approach in dealing with hurdles and overcoming them.
Very nice. I know it's a little tricky thing when you have bad things happen and people say use that as a learning experience. Sometimes at the time, it's kind of like, no, but it is true because you learn what not to do exactly in your case, which is perfect. And thank God you didn't have to pay millions of Bitcoin, but I mean, it's still, I mean, these hackers are just relentless. But again, that's how these things evolve. It's when these bad things happen, it's what sometimes what's needed for people to figure out how to fix it. So good stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, it's trying to go in more of a responsive mode. I know what you're saying, like the first initial shock, when I heard that, obviously it didn't do a dance of joy. I was a little bit taken aback, but I just immediately I've learned in business and even my personal life, because one time I had my watch stolen at the gym. I had left my locker door and somebody took it. And I just looked at the space where the watch was and I just thought, where's my watch? And it was that initial impact. But then I thought, well, maybe that woman needed it more than me. Sadly, I didn't get to say goodbye to my watch. But actually, at the end of the week, I got a better watch.
Yeah,
So
better.
it's just trying to, it's a habit we go into react. But try to change the habit into a responsive mode.
Oh, good job. Now tell us, looking forward, what trends or changes do you foresee in the world of business startups, and how should entrepreneurs prepare for them?
Fantastic. That's a great question. So, looking forward, I do anticipate several trends that shape the business, such as artificial intelligence. It's one of my favorite topics, actually, and something that I am pursuing in my law degree. At the moment, I deal with a lot of businesses helping them start up and incorporating and embracing this AI. And I do think entrepreneurs should be prepared by evolving their business strategies, and writing this down, this emerging technology, and also cultivating this innovation within their teams and staying aware to that response in the market shift. Proactive preparation and forward-thinking approach is very important for any startups to not only survive but thrive in the business landscape. So always do a business plan before you start a venture, and then you will thrive in the innovation that anything that comes ahead in your business world or the business sector, you'll be ready for that.
Yeah, preparation is key.
It is key, yeah. I mean, like, my favorite quote is, remember, business is easy. It is us who complicate it with complexities and overthinking. So if you just map it out and you trust that journey and you are prepared to, when you do the mapping, you'll know what comes, you'll know what expenses you're going to incur, and you can say that before you start the business, and then you won't be in the situation where a lot of people in COVID was. You know, I remember I had a lot of yoga teachers, and even before COVID hit, I said, well, what happens if your shop shuts? What are you going to do? Well, let's get online. And then during COVID, I said to them, you're online now, but why don't you get a USB plug in case the internet shuts down, and you can post that to people so that they can, do your yoga classes by plugging it into their computer. So innovation is very important.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, and again, it took a crisis for people to realize this is something that was needed, but they should have thought ahead. And either way, now that they know, thinking ahead.
Exactly. You're very correct there.
Now, anything else you want to talk about that we didn't cover that you're working on?
So, I mean, just touching on my upcoming business book, which is set to launch at the end of this year. I will be unveiling the title at the end of February. If you do want any business tips or advice, our website is full of it. We have a Facebook page. I have an author Facebook page, which is at Nancy Steidel Author. LinkedIn as well, I share quite a bit of information on on business and business tips. And you can follow my author journey and link up with me through all those social media platforms, which I think, maybe you'll post them on the
podcast. I'll put you in. Nice. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Again, that was Nancy Steidel. So thanks for listening to Successful Minds with Patty B. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the channel. So thank you again.
Thank you very much, Patricia. You've been amazing, and I've really enjoyed this collaboration with you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Successful Minds with your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.